بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد إن شاء الله this is probably going to be our last session of this particular discussion that we've been having every Monday in which we talk about how to benefit from the holy month of Ramadan and now that we're into probably about three nights left of the month of Ramadan is very important. We should have had this probably reminder previously about benefiting from the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she narrates a hadith. She mentions that كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخل العشرة شد مئزره وأحيا ليله وأيقظ أهله. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the last 10 days of Ramadan would enter, he would shadda mi'zarahu. He would tie his izar band, you say in Urdu. He would tie his waistband, you can say. Wa ahya laylahu, and he would remain awake the whole night. Wa ayqadha ahlahu, and he would also wake up his family members as well. So in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, three things have been mentioned that he used to do. The first thing is that when the last 10 nights of Ramadan would enter, shadda mi'zarahu, he would tie his waistband. So ulama have talked about what does this mean. Some scholars have mentioned, this means, you know, in English we have this saying, pull your socks up. You know, when you work hard, when you strive harder, make more of an effort. So some scholars have mentioned this is what it means. But the more correct opinion is that it means that he would refrain from seeing any of his wives or being intimate in the nights, in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And this is the correct opinion. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though intimacy is permissible in the nights of Ramadan, Allah ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran that in the nights of Ramadan a person can be intimate with their spouses. However, in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would avoid intimacy totally. Because it takes time, it's time consuming. And this time he would devote only for the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's too precious to be utilized for anything else. Even though intimacy in and of itself is a form of ibadah, fulfilling the rights of the spouse, but the last 10 nights of Ramadan will come later, what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do in those last 10 nights. So first thing, he would avoid intimacy. The second point, أحيا ليله, he would give life to his night, meaning his entire night would be spent in useful activities, ibadah, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tilawa of the Holy Quran, doing dua and crying in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is making your night alive, not making your night dead, that time is being wasted. The entire night would remain utilized in valuable things. وَأَيْقَظَ أَهْلَهُ, and he would wake up his family members as well. It's a very important point. Inshallah, it's going to be explained what each of these things mean. So firstly, as I mentioned, remaining awake at night time. Imam Hafiz ibn Rajab Hanbali rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that the deen of Islam is very easy. So even though Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was of the level where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would remain awake the whole night and spend the whole night in tahajjud salah and spend the whole night in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the deen of Islam, Allah has made it very easy for us. And that's why many ulama used to say, whoever performs the Isha salah with jama'ah and makes the intention, I'm going to perform the Fajr salah with jama'ah and avoid sins the whole night, it's as if they've done ihya of the night. It's as if the entire night, ahya laylahu. So Allah Ta'ala has made it very easy for us. And they mention many scholars that just, Hafiz ibn Rajab rahmatullahi alayhi mentions quotations that certain scholars would mention that just by using a certain portion of the night for the worship of Allah Ta'ala and on the condition avoiding sins for the rest of the night, then inshallah you will get the reward of as if you've spent that entire night in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentions that Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi in his Muwatta, the Muwatta is the famous kitab of hadith compiled by Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi mentions in his Muwatta that it has reached us from Sayyidina Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib rahmatullahi alayhi that man shahida laylat al-qadri, ya'ni fi jama'atin, faqad akhadha bihazzihi minha. That whoever participates in laylat al-qadr in the salah with jama'at, Fajr salah, Isha Salah with Jama'ah and then Fajr Salah with Jama'ah, فَقَدْ أَخَذَ بِحَظِّهِ مِنْهَا. He has indeed benefited from the Laylatul Qadr. So Allah Ta'ala has made it very, very easy for us, very simple for us. So these important actions, not just in Ramadan, but outside of the month of Ramadan, Salah with Jama'ah. And of course, spending as much of the night as we can in the ibadah of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And then he mentions that what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do? He used to wake up his family members at night time. And this is a very important sunnah. Outside of Ramadan, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not wake up his family members for tahajjud salah. Because tahajjud salah is not a fard action, it's a sunnah action, it's a very important sunnah, but it's something that a person has to make their own effort. When it comes to fara'id, we have to encourage. That's why in our deen, when it comes to sawm, fasting in the month of Ramadan, when it comes to performing salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has commanded us, we need to force our children to perform salah. We need to force them to fast in the month of Ramadan. These are obligations, fardh actions. But when it comes to those things which are nafal, which are sunnah and nafal, and are not obligatory actions, then a person should do as much as they are capable and able. Sometimes a person in the earliest stages of their life possibly is learning their deen and slowly practicing. So if you make it very difficult, you have to do this and you have to do this and you have to do this, they will find it very hard. And as they get older, as they age, as they learn more knowledge, then inshallah slowly but surely they themselves will start practicing. Of course we advise and we encourage, but we shouldn't be forceful. But the ulama mentioned in the month of Ramadan, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would wake up his family members. Wake up and stand in tahajjud salah. Because it's too valuable to waste this time sleeping. It's too valuable. The moments of the nights, last 10 nights of Ramadan are so precious that sleeping is like you're wasting this time. And then he mentions many incidents of the pious saints as well, that Sayyidina Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ إِذَا دَخَلَ الْعَشْرُ الْأَوَاخِرُ أَنْ يَتَهَجَّدَ بِاللَّيْلِ وَيَجْتَهِدَ فِيهِ وَيَنْهَضَ أَهْلَهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ إِذَا دَخَلَ الْعَشْرُ الْأَوَاخِرُ أَنْ يَتَهَجَّدَ بِاللَّيْلِ وَيَجْتَهِدَ فِيهِ وَيَنْهَضَ أَهْلَهُ وَوَلَدَهُ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ إِنْ أَطَاقُوا ذَلِكَ. That one of the most beloved things to me when the last 10 nights of Ramadan enter is that I spend the night in tahajjud salah. And I try very, very hard to do ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I wake up my family members and my children if they have the ability to do this. And some of the scholars, they would wake up even any child who had ability, meaning the child was able to perform wudu and stand and had that understanding, they would make the child stand up and perform tahajjud salah. Because it's so, maybe on a normal day you don't wake your child up at this time, because obviously it's night time and the child is still very young. But in Ramadan, they would make sure everybody is standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last 10 nights, because it is too precious to waste that time. And he mentions a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that إِنَّهُ كَانَ يَطْرُخُ فَاطِمَةَ وَعَلِيًّا لَيْلًا فَيَقُولُ لَهُمَا أَلَا تَقُومَانِ فَتُصَلِّيَانِ. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to the home of Sayyidatuna Fatima, his beloved daughter, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. So in the middle of the night, he would go to their home and he would knock on their door and he would wake them up and he would say, are you not going to stand up and perform salah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The purpose is not to be forceful, but the purpose is to try and make them aware that this is such a special time. You're missing out. It's like, you have a parent. Another parent, something is good for my child. I found a certain item in the shop that this is good for them, this clothes, and it's quite cheap or something. And they say, go and buy this now. It's very important. You're not forcing your child, but you know that this is in the best interest of the child. If they don't buy this, they're going to miss out on a bargain, on a deal. So similarly, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would wake up the family members. That normally on a normal night, I wouldn't wake you up. But in these last 10 nights of Ramadan, you cannot waste this time sleeping. And another point he mentions about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he would do, another action that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do in these last 10 nights of Ramadan is that he would have a bath every night. He would have a ghusl every single night. And this is also a very important sunnah. And he mentions here some beautiful incidents that firstly mentions about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. That Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up in the last 10 nights of Ramadan to perform salah, and first he bathed and then he stood in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentions a lot of beautiful incidents. He mentions, for instance, about Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Nakhai rahmatullahi alayhi, a great faqih, a great scholar, that every single night of Ramadan he would have a fresh bath and he would wash himself, and thereafter he would perfume himself, and then he will stand up. with the intention that it's possibly it could be Laylatul Qadr, any of those last 10 nights. The odd nights have been mentioned in the hadith, but there are certain hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just mentions last 10 nights. Taharruhu. In some hadiths he mentions that seek for it or look for it on the odd nights, and in some hadith he just mentions mutlaqan, generally it could be last 10 nights of Ramadan. And that's why certain scholars would say, look, don't just say that it's only going to be on the odd night. So on the odd night I'm going to do a lot of ibadah, and on the even nights I'm just going to do what I normally do. Rather, it could possibly fall on any night. And that's the whole reason why these last 10 nights are very, very special. And he mentions that Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when it would be from the from the 24th night onwards, that when it was the 24th night of Ramadan onwards until the last night of Ramadan, he would have a fresh bath every night, and then he would perfume, and then he would wear his best clothes, and he was a special set of clothes that he had reserved to wear in those last 10 nights of Ramadan. It's like in our deen we're commanded that on the Jumu'ah, when a person goes to Jumu'ah Salah, perfume, wear nice clothes, wear your best clothes when you go for Eid Salah. So Laylatul Qadr is the most special night in the whole year. So Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu would have a special set of clothes that he would wear from the 24th night until the 29th night, with the, you know, thinking that there's a likelihood, possibility that this could be the night of Laylatul Qadr. And Sayyidina Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani rahmatullahi alayhi, another great muhaddith, that he would have a bath every night from the 23rd night onwards, and he would wear a new set of clothes, and wa yastajmir. Yastajmir, istijmar is, you know, they do it in Saudi and Arab countries where they light the oud. And they have the oud burner, and you know that smell of oud that comes. So he would perfume his clothes with that incense smell, with that oud smell, and he would stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this one is, I found this quite amazing. Sayyidina Thabit al-Bunani rahmatullahi alayhi, the close student of Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he mentions that Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu, famous sahabi Tamim al-Dari, Sayyidina Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu, he had a pair of clothes which he had purchased for 1,000 dirhams. Very expensive set of clothes, and he had only purchased it so he can wear it on Laylatul Qadr. So this is how the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in and the pious people would take this, this point, that having a bath on every night of Ramadan, wearing beautiful clothes, perfuming oneself, adorning oneself, making sure that our personal hygiene is looked after, because it's a great likelihood it could be Laylatul Qadr. And we know from many ahadith that the malaika, the angels, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in one hadith, that the angels are harmed by the same things that human beings are harmed by. Bad odors, bad smells. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi mentions, when you come to the masjid, don't have onions and come to the masjid, because onions have a foul smell, to leave a foul smell on our tongue. And more specifically nowadays, smoking, we always have to talk about smoking. You come to the masjid and people are smoking, and it's so hard to perform salah next to someone who is a habitual smoker, especially if they've just had a cigarette before coming to the masjid. It's very hard. For someone who smokes, to them maybe this is, mashallah, very welcoming, warming smell or something. But for someone who doesn't smoke, this is a very disturbing smell. They can't even focus. And similarly, bad body odor. How Ustaz Mufti Nazir Sahib, I remember, he used to say it jokingly. But it's a very serious point. Some people come to the masjid and he goes, just their body odor is so bad that I can't read my salah. It's impossible for me to focus. So we need to take, that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the early days of Islam, he made it wajib that when people come on the day of Jum'ah, you have to perform a ghusl. Later on, the Sahaba, they didn't, you know, more wealth increased and, you know, the lifestyle became better. So then it didn't become wajib anymore. It became sunnah after that, to have a ghusl on Friday. But in the early days of Islam, it was wajib. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come to the masjid and he could smell the smell of, because they were Sahaba or laborers, many of them were working in the fields, in the farms, and working very hard, and then as soon as they heard the adhan, they would come running to the masjid. So obviously there'd be this natural body odor. But this is harming to human beings, and this is harming to the malaika, angels as well. So therefore we perfume ourselves and we wear our best clothes and we prepare ourselves for Laylatul Qadr. And then he mentions another point about i'tikaf. MashaAllah, our brother is sitting in i'tikaf. Maybe this was a pep talk which should have been given prior to sitting in i'tikaf. But he mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would habitually sit in i'tikaf every Ramadan. Rather, in one narration in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentions that in the year that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, he sat in i'tikaf for 20 days. Meaning Rasulullah, and the whole purpose of this i'tikaf is isolation. Like say khalwat, isolation, that a person is secluded. Hatta ke Sayyidina Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, you know, he was very much against meeting people in i'tikaf, talking to people. He would say it just should be between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing else. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi used to say it's makruh to even learn knowledge. Go to someone to learn knowledge. It's makruh to go to someone to fix your qira'at of Qur'an as well, because you're still interacting with another human being. This was the position of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. That in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have totally isolate himself from the people. And we see in our pious predecessors, especially in India, many of our pious predecessors in Ramadan, they just say, don't talk to me. I don't want you to come. I don't want you, if you write me any letters and I don't answer, please don't get offended. I don't want to make time for insan, for any human being in these last 10 nights of Ramadan. The great Marna Abdul Rahim Raipuri rahmatullahi alayhi, a great scholar from India, very pious man, wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the other scholars, he mentions in Tadhkiratul Khaleel, the Marna Khaleel Ahmad Saharanpuri, another pious great scholar of the time, he would write a letter to him that, can I please come? And Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullah would write a letter to him that, can I please come in the last 10 nights of Ramadan and spend time with you? He'd say, no, not in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Come any other time that you want, but I don't want, even though I have so much love for you, I have so much love for you, but don't come in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Because then I'll be distracted by you, I'll have to give you time, I'll have to sit with you, I'll have to be hospitable towards you. Mehman Nawazi, all of this, it's going to take up a lot of my time. So please don't come in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Come any other time of the year that you want. So this is how seriously they would take these last 10 nights, that I should not waste any or squander any second of this precious last 10 nights of Ramadan. So we only have a few of those nights left in front of us, starting from tonight. Tonight is the 27th night of Ramadan. Many of the scholars, 27th isn't it? Tonight is going to be the 27th night of Ramadan. Many, many scholars used to feel that the 27th night of Ramadan is a great likelihood and possibility of the 27th night of Ramadan being Laylatul Qadr. So we need to really appreciate it. I'll finish on one more hadith. Sometimes what happens is, even in the last 10 nights, you have a bad start. You have a bad start to the last 10 nights. Something happened, family, this, that, some other thing. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned, that iltamisuha fil ashril awakhir, search for Laylatul Qadr in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. فَإِنْ ضَعُفَ أَحَدُكُمْ أَوْ عَجِزَ فَلَا يَغْلِبَنَّ عَلَى السَّبْعِ الْبَوَاقِي. That if any of you are weak, or if any of you find it difficult to use the whole last 10, then at least the last 7 you should not waste. Meaning at least in the last 7 you should pull your socks up. Meaning the time that we still have left, let's appreciate that, let's value that. And now that we're coming to the end, everybody should feel this. You know, I was reading here, it's connected to a different subject, but I'll mention it anyway. Everybody, we should feel in our hearts this sadness. First of all, the sadness that Ramadan is leaving. And this is a good sign. And secondly, this sadness and worry that, has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted my actions? I don't know. Many hours I've wasted, a lot of time I've wasted. My actions have been imperfect. They've been filled with so much deficiency. You know, we stand in Taraweeh Salah. I was saying to our fellow Huffaz that I really enjoyed that COVID year when we didn't have Taraweeh Salah in the masjid. Because it was just me. I was standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala performing the Taraweeh. I had my wife at times, you know, behind me, performing the 20 rakat. If she wasn't there, then it was just, it's like it was me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Taraweeh Salah becomes this jama'ah thing, sometimes you're performing and you're reading loudly, and then your intention, intention very easily can be taken away. I was mentioning our Marnas here in the sisters program the other day. The great Imam Sayyidina Hamad bin Salama, he's a great muhaddith, very great muhaddith, scholar of hadith. He would sometimes be narrating a hadith to his student and he would say, حَدَّثَنَا أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. اسی طرح حدیث روایت کرتے تھے, حَدَّثَنَا, میرے استاذ نے مجھے سنایا ہے, my استاد has mentioned to me. But he would say حَدَّثَنَا, and then he would say أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. And he would say, you know, just in this mentioning of حَدَّثَنَا, there's a chance of pride coming in. Meaning just me saying that I have benefited from this ustad, or I have benefited from this sheikh, takabbur can come in here. Ke maine fulan buzurg se mulaqat ki hai, fulan sheikh ke sohbat mein maine baitha. You know, they would pick up on these kind of things. So they were so concerned. So these Taraweeh Salah, sometimes it makes you think, and then you're in your Salah, you're focused, mistakes, is it being correct, is it not being correct? Am I reading it right, am I reading it wrong? So that one year, I remember, that was the best Taraweeh that I personally felt in my whole life so far. It was just me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No need to worry about mistakes. If I'm making a mistake, I'm correcting it myself. I can correct it later. We just felt like we were connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's very important. You know, these jama'at actions are there, and jama'at actions are important. But very importantly, equally as important, are the infiradi amal. The actions which are directly between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where I can say, oh Allah, it's just me and you now. In other actions, I'm going to come perform. Sometimes imam is reading and I'm zoning out, especially if it's long rakats. Sometimes my mind is going from here to there. But when it's just me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's, oh Allah, you're listening and I'm speaking. And oh Allah, you're listening to my du'as. And I'm doing tilawah of the Quran, and oh Allah, it's just you and I. And it's very important to have those actions, as many of them as we can, especially in these last few nights of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives all the ability to practice one of these few words. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallah, bihamdihi, shudu, da ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.